Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Father, we thank you we can gather, Lord, and in what hour. But, Lord, we thank you for these precious Saturday mornings that you've enabled us to meet and allowed us to meet. And we just want to redeem the time, Lord. So we thank you for today, and we thank you for the psalm today as we again have things to glean and learn that you tell us and remind us. And so lead us now by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have an interesting psalm today. It's Psalm 83. It's the last of the Asaph psalms. And doing a little more review on Asaph again today, because I think this psalm fits in one of the events of this is about praying against the enemies coming against Israel. And so anti-Semitism is not something only of the 21st century. Anti-Semitism has always been since the beginning of Judaism. And we have it here with a confederacy of many as some find 17 nations in this. I can count 10, but I'm not sure. Anyway, there's a confederacy of nations, and you'll see that they're all the way from the east and the north and the south and the west. That always happens when a nation turns its back against God. The enemies come from all directions. And they did here as well. But we do read in 2 Chronicles 20 this great answer from God in such a similar situation. And most people associate this psalm with that event. And as we look at 2 Chronicles 20, 14 to 15, it says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Yahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. In the midst of the assembly, and he said, 'Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed of this great multitude.'" What? Why? "For the battle is not yours, but God's." So I thought we would begin this psalm just with "The battle belongs to the Lord." So let's just sing this, if we may. The notes are there. "Battle belongs to the Lord."
In heavenly armor, land of the land, the battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord.
Thank you.
So Psalm 83, my Bible entitles this Prayer to Frustrate Conspiracy Against Israel. And as I spent some time in this psalm, the thought occurred to me, whether I'm right or not, I don't know, but this battle is really not against Israel. This battle is against God. And so to that extent, I think you and I are facing the same conspiracy against God. All Christians are and will. And it won't end. It's going to get worse and worse, right? But how do we come against that? Well, the psalmist here is writing really from a kind of a nationalistic standpoint, from Israel's standpoint. And so he begins, "Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace. Do not be still, O God, for behold, your enemies make a tumult. And those who hate you have lifted up their head." So I think that pretty much summarizes it right there. Those who hate you have lifted up their head. They have, listened to this, taken crafty counsel against your people. Oh, how we see that, don't we? "And consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more." Right? Even think back to Voltaire and his days years ago when he died in this house and he said, you know, "I'm dying, but there'll never," something before that, he said, "the Christianity won't be around and the Bibles won't be around," or anything else. And then what happened? Later, that same building became the center of Bible publication, you know. So men pass, but God's word never passes, right?
Yes.
Verse 5, "For they have consulted together with one consent," or one heart. They have consulted together with one heart. They covenant, or they form a confederacy against you. Now notice this is going to be south, east, west, and north here. The tents of Edom and Ishmaelites, that's basically south. Moab is east. Hagarites believed east. It's even east of Moab. Gabal, we're not quite sure. It's down in the Idumeam country. Ammon and Amalek, Philistia, that's really south and west. And then Assyria. Assyria has joined with them. That's really from the north. So you've got all of these enemies, and they're the strong enemies of Israel, all joining in this confederacy in this psalm. They have helped the children of Lot. Of course, we know that the enemy was against Jacob, and before that, really on back to Abraham, but Lot had a kind of a different group there on the other side of the where the Sodom and Gomorrah was and so forth. So now we go to the time of the judges here in the next section, verse 9. "Deal with them as with the Midians." Remember when he raised up Gideon? And remember he was trying to sift his wheat in a cave and doing the things in a cave because the Midianites would wait until harvest time and they would come in and take all the harvest, take all the wheat. And so God said, "Okay, I'm going to raise you up." And he said, "Who, me? I'm the weakest of my family, and the family is the weakest in the clan," and so forth. We know the whole story, you know, from 27,000 down to 10,000, then down to finally 300 people. And we know that 120,000 Midianites killed each other or were killed, and you only had 300. So Israel doesn't need a big army. Israel doesn't need lots of tanks. And you know, I heard the other day, I think it's a good thing. If you ever get the chance, I know none of you are probably gamblers, but if you ever get the chance to gamble on whether Israel is destroyed or not, put all your chips on the side of not being destroyed, because it's not going to be destroyed. You go back even in our lifetime. Remember 1967? Man, for the first 3 days of that war, it looked like Israel was history. And then again in the 70s, the same thing. And not too long ago, there was this skirmish over Lebanon, and Israel shot down 89 jets. And didn't lose a single plane. So we see these, and we see this back at other times as well, way back in the book of Numbers, where they had this battle with the 12,000 guys. Remember, 1,000 came from each tribe, and they wiped out the enemy, and they didn't lose one single man. So when you got God on your side, it makes a difference, doesn't it? Wow. put it mildly. So deal with them as with Midian, as with Sisera and Yabin at the brook of Kishon. And up at Hazor, the king there was Jabin, and his commander of his army was Sisera. And you remember he got nailed, really, who perished at Endor and who became refuge on the earth. Their bodies became as just laying there as rotting on the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeeb, like Zeba and Zalmunna. Now that was Gideon's time. Those were Oreb and Zeeb were the Midian princes, two of them that he wiped out. And then Oreb and Zeeb were two of the Midian kings that he wiped out. You remember they wiped out pretty much everything, and their 15,000 escaped with these guys. And then he went across the Jordan there to the other Israelites there and said, come with me, let's wipe these out. And they wouldn't do it. They said, no, we're not going to do that. So they wouldn't help him until he wiped them out. And then they got mad at him because he did it without them. I mean, talk about we humans are really ridiculous. But it says, make their nobles like Oreb and Zeeb, meaning they're going to be wiped out. Their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take for ourselves the pastures of God for a possession. So every time Israel got in trouble, they would kind of try to come in over the Jordan and then take the property for themselves, right? So not only were they not helping Israel, they wanted Israel to be defeated so they could get the spoil, right? Not quite the kind of friends that you like to have. And now there's this prayer. This is probably has a place. Oh my God, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind. Blow them away. Verse 14, as the fire burns the woods and as the flame sets the mountains on fire. So blow them away, burn them. Pursue them with your tempest and frighten them with your storms. Fill their faces with shame. You know, that's a good prayer because, you know, those who hate the Lord, they have no shame at all. Man, particularly, seems like I say these days. I usually say these days on everything. And then we read things like are 3,000 years old. It's fine with those days as well. Fill their faces with shame that they may seek your name, O Lord. Yes. Let them be confounded and dismayed forever. Yes, let them be put to shame and perish. Why? That they may know that you, whose name alone is Jehovah, is Yahweh, is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. Isn't that great? Now, I checked it, because I remember studying Ezekiel. He kept saying every time he wiped it out, he said, that they may know that I am the Lord. Do you know how many times that's in the book of Ezekiel? Over 60 times. I may have missed the count, but you say 70? 70. I was going to say over 60 because I couldn't count that far. But I mean, that was the thing. And over again, what did Jesus say in his great high priestly prayers? This is eternal life. What? That they may know you. And we have it over and over in the scripture that we're to know him. And so that's the way this psalm ends. And so we'll sing about that when we get done with the prayer here. Father, we thank you for telling us what to do. And Lord, we can see in the time of Jehoshaphat there, they would cry out to you. We're in such danger and we don't know what to do, Lord. We'd just come to you, help us. And that's the way we need to approach you, I think, particularly at all times and in our own personal life and even from a national basis as well. And from a Christian basis internationally around the world. And so, Lord, here we are to pray and you've given us these moments to gather and to be led by your Spirit. So guide us now in what you would have us to bring before you this morning in our little family here. We ask this in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Well, as we come to the end of the hour, just wanted to remind you, we've got a great lesson here for us in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 as it relates to today's psalm. Verse 2 says in chapter 20, a great multitude is coming against us from beyond the sea, from Syria, Moab, Ammon, Ammonites, and others coming against Israel. And so Jehoshaphat did the right thing. Verse 3, he feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast through all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord and from all the cities of Judah. And he goes on down and he says, our eyes are on you. We don't know what to do. Show us what to do. And so we prayed so many good prayers this morning on what to do. But there's one thing here that really was struck me in this account. And that is that God defeated the enemy. What did he require Israel to do? To sing praises. Just listen to this. Just listen to this. You do not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before him. The Lord what? Worshipping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the Korathites stood up to what? Praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and clear. And verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, who should praise with the beauty of holiness, and went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Verse 22, listen to this. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushes against the people at Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who they'd come against Judah, and they were defeated, and they killed utterly all of each other. So I was really convicted by this of how little I'm praising the Lord. Yeah, I'm studying the Word a lot, I'm praying some. But how much am I praising him? And when we can just get our eyes on him, all of the other problems just disappear. Because he's in control and he knows. And even 21,000 earthquake, I bet many, many of those 21,000 turned to the Lord. Earthquakes are not necessarily instantaneous. And we think, what a terrible death to be trapped. Yes, but how many of those turned to the Lord? I bet a lot more of them turned to the Lord since the earthquake than they did before the earthquake. Same in Ukraine. You take any tragedy there is and watch how the Lord works in it. And we don't like it. We want times to be good. But the Lord knows what we need, and we don't come to the Lord very much in good times, do we? So that's why he gives us trials and affliction. So in all the things to do and pray, yes. In all to stand up and witness, yes. Pray the prayers back, and yes. But remember to praise him. Praise him. Praise him. It's him. It's not us. And we started with a battle began to the Lord. And so I just, this Matt Redman song, let praise be a weapon that silences the enemy. Let praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety. Move over, psychiatrist. Let it rise, let praise arise. We sing with all we are and we claim the victory. Let it rise, let praise arise. So let's sing this song, if we may, and pray it as we sing it.
Break down every wall. like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like.
Father, we thank you for all things. Thank you for this morning. What a beautiful time to be together once again. I just pray as we go throughout this day, we would be sensitive to your calling. And Lord, may we be praising you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.